Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one, because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm Frank.
And today we will be discussing our first and then favorite Pixar films.
Yes.
A big part of our childhood.
Oh, yeah. A big part of my childhood. Big part of my adulthood still.
Yeah, absolutely. Though, sadly, less. Like, sometimes you gotta... Okay, this is... When you go see kids' films in theaters...
Yes.
I've discovered things.
Yes.
One, you have to take somebody with you.
Correct.
Either that is a small child mm-hmm. that you know. Mm-hmm. Don't take children you don't know. or you have to bring an adult.
Right.
You can't go to see a kids movie by yourself.
Absolutely not.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Not because people judge you for seeing a kids movie, but because you could be dangerous.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, it's okay to bring a date. It's okay yeah. to bring your niece or nephew or younger sibling or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't go alone. But, so it gets more difficult.
It gets more difficult
because of that.
And well, we're in our 20s. We don't have kids yet. And so we're in this.
And we have facial hair.
And we have facial hair, which is a big no-no for some. It's not for me. I like it.
Yeah. But it does give off a creeper vibe to some people. When you see a lone man with a beard sitting in a movie theater filled with children. It right. definitely looks bizarre. So it's hard to see them in theaters
right.
as we get older.
Especially if you go to a matinee show.
Yeah.
Like you have the day off or something
yeah.
and you're like on a Saturday, like, I'll go to the 2 o'clock show.
Right. No.
Yeah, bad idea.
What were you
Stranger
thinking?
Danger. Yeah. Like,
so,
yeah.
So sadly, it makes it, because of some miscreants in society, it gets harder and harder to see the movies we love, at least in the theater. But... I still am a big Pixar fan. The last Pixar movie I saw in a theater was Brave.
Me too, actually.
And I went with my sister, who's only a couple years younger, but yeah, so I wasn't alone, which made it okay.
Right. I don't remember who I saw it with, mm-hmm. but I did see it with somebody.
Yeah.
I do remember, but yeah. that was a couple years ago, and sometimes I have like a couple of movie
yeah.
people,
yeah.
and so sometimes they kind of run together. Right. I did not.
So if you're listening, Tim doesn't remember you or appreciate you.
That is... not true. People.
Friend.
Who I may or may not know.
Like, yeah. My first was, we talked about this already, Toy Story.
We did. We,
yeah.
A couple episodes ago, we talked about Toy
right.
Story.
Yeah.
Both our firsts.
Yeah, both of our firsts. The first Pixar feature-length film.
Yep.
So we don't need to go too much into it. It was my first film in a theater at all.
Right. I forgot about that.
Right, right.
Even though
so,
you did say it. Yeah.
Right, right. So... So that was my first, and that was your first as well.
It was my first.
Yeah.
I it was definitely not my first feature film. That was
yep.
Another movie,
mm-hmm.
Mystery.
Mm.
No, it was 95. So I was 8.
Right.
Ish.
Right.
It was November. Yeah, so I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
I remember exactly what theater it was, what town, what theater. Which not necessarily the number of like the theater itself,
yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
like of the screen, but like where we sat.
Mm-hmm.
I remember all of that. I have a weird memory because that's like super helpful in life, you know, to remember when I saw Toy Story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I remember the movie finishing and being like, I think it was my mom that was like, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
That was the first thing
yeah,
ever
it was.
Like that. It was a great movie.
Oh yeah.
Like, it holds up. Even though you're talking almost, doing math, 20 years
19
later.
Years ago, yeah. Almost
yeah,
20.
It's almost 20 years ago. It still holds up. Not just in, like, acting choices or anything like that, but even the animation.
Yeah,
is
it still looks pretty good.
Still pretty
yeah,
good.
It looks a little dated now when you compare say Toy Story 3 to Toy Story.
It's just not as rendered. It's not as detailed.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But it still looks pretty good.
It still looks great.
Funny story that I don't think I got to tell when we devoted an episode to Toy Story.
Tell me.
I saw Toy Story in a theater with my mom and my younger sister. So I was 6. That'd make my sister 3 at the time. And yeah, 3.
Was she building forts then, by any chance?
Pillow forts, yes.
Pillow forts, yes. Good. I like forts.
Yeah, Fort Comforter.
We are not in a fort right now. Just stating.
We were. But yeah, so I remember the projector broke or something broke having to do with the projection like halfway through the movie. I think they were in Pizza Planet.
Oh no!
When that happened,
that was like a Tim Allen thing. Home Improvement, Toy Story, yeah.
So yeah, projector broke, and so someone came out and apologized and said we're gonna try and get it working. It's gonna be a few minutes, yada yada. Within a few minutes, they did get it working, and we finished the film. But that was my first time seeing a movie in a theater, and something went wrong, and I was like, what is this supposed to happen? That was short. Why did it just end? All the movies I've seen at home have endings.
I know. Woody's character arc wasn't finished. What happened? Yeah.
My young, budding film critique career. Yeah, yeah. The character arc was just bloody awful.
It was awful.
But do you have a favorite Pixar movie?
You know, I just like any like favorite films, like Pixar being its own category, it does change.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I get in different moods, and there are some, you know, like, because they'll be on TV or whatever else, and there are some that I'm just like, oh, that's it. That's definitely my favorite. And then I see another one, and I'm like, no, that's it. That's my favorite.
Yeah.
And so, depending on the mood, I'm going to say, which is a little out of the box, it's not everybody's... It's A Bug's Life.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That was going to be one of my honorable mentions, and I was going to say it never gets any love, so thank you for loving it.
You're welcome. I love A Bug's Life.
Cheers.
Cheers. The episode's not done yet, but yeah, cheers.
That's
yeah.
Right. A deserved early cheers.
Right. No, I love that movie. I loved it when I saw it. I just like it has this really offbeat sense of humor that's not like the other films in its own way. Just like it's got a weird, quirky cast of characters, all of that stuff combined, and there's something about Flint's yell, like every time he's like, no, like this is like the, it just makes me laugh.
It's true
every single time,
you know. It's
and Elaine Stritch is the queen.
Yeah.
And I love her and loved her
and still love her.
I still love her even beyond the grave. No, the whole thing. Kevin Spacey as the bad guy.
Yes, which,
you know.
Can we please?
Yes, they come, they eat, they leave. They come, they eat, they leave. Like it's just movies to me need to be for me to like truly love you. I think they need to be quotable. I need to like bring something of that in, something of the line into my life, and then be able to use it in context or out of context, I guess. But.
Yeah.
That to me is like, I would be a beautiful butterfly.
Yeah.
Like,
One of my favorite things from the whole movie is Flick's brother, his like dumb.
Did I say dumb, Flint earlier? I think I said Flint,
yeah,
but I meant
it.
Flick.
It's fine.
I'm tired.
but yeah, his brother, who's like, you know, stupid, is not Flick's brother. Did I say Flick's brother? Mm-hmm. I meant. Thumper's
We're really
brother.
Tired.
Yeah. Hopper's brother.
Yeah.
He and some other guy, when they're like in that cantina bar place. Look a garage. Look a garage. Look a garage. Look a garage.
Oh, I just.
Oh, look at all the beautiful colors of the blood.
love that. Making me a ladybug out of makes me a girl, doesn't it? Yeah.
He is like my spirit animal, if only because his name is Francis.
Is
Dennis Leary.
Good. Yeah. Leary.
By the way, I don't mean to call you out, but I do want to describe it wasn't Elaine Stritch, it was Phyllis Diller.
No.
It was Phyllis Diller,
This whole time I've been masquerading it as Elaine. Not that I've really said that to anybody, but...
In your mind.
In my mind. Yeah. It does kind of sound like her. She's got the same laugh.
I hear it.
Which, that's upsetting to me. I still love the movie. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, It's fine. I mean, I was like, it's just, I mean, like I said, instantly quotable. Like, I mean, in my job, I'm pretending stuff is different than it is all the time, and I just always think of, let's pretend it's a seed. It's a rock. Like, story of my life.
That is a...
Every day.
I'm so glad you picked that because...
You fire!
Yeah.
Anyway,
hey, sorry. You don't understand me. I really love that movie. I think it's very underrated. Not even underrated. It's not remembered. It's forgotten.
It's a forgotten Pixar
movie.
Any
list of Pixar movies, it will rarely be on like a list of best or favorite Pixar movies.
It's not like you see P.T. Flea walking around Disney World, you know, which is brilliant.
A brilliant character.
Yeah.
It's actually, I think, it was the second Pixar animated feature. After Toy Story. It took them 3 years after Toy Story to make it. I'm sure they were already in production on it at some level but prior to that. But, it's a fantastic film. Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Princess Atta.
So funny. She's just, you know, kind of not Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Different for her, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of my favorite things about this movie is that it started the long tradition, I think it's now done, but that tradition that lasted for a few years of having bloopers at the end of Pixar movies.
Yeah. I just love bloopers in general.
I love bloopers in general, bloopers but like the fake, like, bloopers, the fake
bloopers
that they make because it's an end. And being a kid, I kind of thought they were real.
Right, of course.
But like, obviously they're not.
No, they have to like craft that CG for years.
Right, but like when I was a kid, I thought they were real bloopers.
Right.
And then when I got older, I was like, oh, maybe they're obviously not. You know, like they would do things like you would see the clapper come out. And I was like, well, obviously it's not a clapper because I know this is an animated movie.
Right.
So obviously that's made. But I was like, maybe the bloopers are real mistakes that the actors made and then they just animated around it. And what I've come to read is that a lot of them are just completely, you know, fabricated. But some of them actually are funny, just mistakes like, that the actor. Yeah. And then they animate around
that's
it.
That's cool.
But that's like a couple of them are that. Anyway, one of my favorite ones, it has to do with Princess Atta. And the queen, where she calls her Princess Abba by accident.
Oh, yeah.
And then she makes, like, an Abba joke. Abba dancing queen reference.
See,
let me find my bell-bottom pants!
See, and that's... I think that maybe that's why it's forgotten. It's just, like, the humor, a lot of it, is a little too dry adult. Like, it's a little too reference-y, where it's like, ladies and gentlemen, rub your legs together.
Yeah. Because they're crickets.
Right, yeah, exactly. And it's just like, I think that's what, like, waiter, I'm in my soup. Like, yeah. It's,
who wanted the poo-poo platter?
Yeah. I think, like, Bloody Mary. O positive.
Yeah.
Like, those are the jokes that go right over kids' heads.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of them in Bug's Life. So as an adult, I appreciate it a lot. There were some jokes like that in Toy Story, like, you know, like, I'm just a couple of blocks away.
Right.
You know, and look, the blocks are right there.
Right,
and, you know, like, Kiss My Ass with Mr. Potato Head and with Woody. And it's like, high bar.
Yeah.
Well, as much as Kiss My Ass can be high bar humor.
But, yeah, you know. But I think what you're... Those are very, I'm going to call them Muppet-like jokes, where they're jokes that go sail right over the heads of the kids, but they land for the parents.
Yeah, well, that's what Pixar became famous for.
That's what Pixar became famous for. It's what the Muppets are famous for.
Yep.
I think that A Bug's Life, were it not about insects, right? If it was just about a group of underdogs who were being oppressed by some other big group, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you swap out these characters... Swap out, have Kermit play Flick, have Piggy play Princess Atta, you know, have the Electric Mayhem be the Circus Bugs.
Okay.
Right? In general, those are the same archetypes.
Yep, I would agree with that.
That you see in Muppet movies.
Yep.
So I would argue, and I'm just thinking of this today, but I would argue that A Bug's Life is the most Muppet-like Pixar movie that there is.
I've never thought about that. I didn't grow up on the Muppets.
Okay,
like
yeah,
I was
right,
like peripherally aware of them.
Yeah.
But the first Muppet movie I ever saw, not counting the time I was in college, and Muppet Treasure Island was like on the TV at a party. Like doesn't count. The first time I ever truly sat down to watch a Muppet movie all the way through was the new one not Muppets Most Wanted or just whatever it is, Muppets. But the Muppets.
The Muppets.
That was the first.
The Jason Segel one.
The Jason Segel one. That was the first one I ever watched, which was hysterical.
And you love that movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I remember after the movie came out, you were pretty much obsessed with it for a little while.
Yes, like, I was. I bought it. The soundtrack a lot. The soundtrack's great.
Yeah.
Everything is great.
Everything is grand.
I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand.
Life's a happy song.
When someone by your side to sing along.
So good. Yeah, but I would
life's
say this
a
is...
Life's a play of a fish. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Anyway, yeah. It's a very Muppet-like movie in a lot of ways. So I think that's what they were going for with the... with those jokes that kind of go like the O positive and the stuff that goes right over the kids' heads.
I agree.
And I think they may have
done a little bit too much.
In some people's opinion.
Yeah. Not,
I love it, but I'm an old man, you know, at heart. I'm an old soul to begin with.
And
so.
See, now I got those jokes. I was like, that's been my sense of humor since I was a little kid.
Yeah. I mean, I got most of those as a little kid. Some of them went over my head.
I mean, you're just not like aware of such right. things. Like I don't know what O positive means, you know.
Right, you might not know that when you're 8, but like
no, but you can get like the, you know, Harry, no, don't look at the light.
Yeah,
light,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
so beautiful. Like you can still get stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
But anyway, let's move on from A Bug's Life. What's your favorite?
As you said, it's very hard to pick one. I was almost gonna cop out and say I have two, but
can't do that
not by these rules. So I am going to say The Incredibles.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't even make my honorable list.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's got some great lines. Like, where's my super suit?
Oh,
like,
man,
is the best.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
We make references to that line actually kind of a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
I am the greatest good you'll ever know or ever have or whatever.
I'm the greatest good you are ever going to get.
That's it. That's it. That's the, oh, yeah. So anyway, so why is it your favorite?
Not because it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Not just purely because it's a superhero movie. That's a peripheral nice to have.
I think it's a great analysis of the superhero.
It is a great deconstruction of the superhero genre.
Yeah. It's Watchmen for
kids. It's for kids. It's the family version of Watchmen. It's like Watchmen meets Civil War. They have to register. Anyway,
it's fine. We're going to leave that analysis there.
Yeah, we're going to leave it there.
Yeah.
It's I enjoy it because it is a I enjoy it because it's a family movie about a family.
Yeah.
Right? It's the
family.
It's the first Pixar movie that's really about a family. You could argue Finding Nemo, which came before this, is about a family.
Yeah, but it's like the typical Disney broken family. There's a dead Disney parent. It's a proud Disney tradition because Walt Disney deemed it so.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I could be wrong, but this is what I heard, that he only grew up with one parent. And so he said, I only want one parent in my films because that's what he knew. And he knew other kids needed to relate to that. And so a kid with two parents can still relate to a kid with one parent,
right.
But it's different going the other way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. And they just create sympathetic characters, you know, Bambi, Dumbo, like these all create.
Yeah.
You have sympathy for these characters.
King Arthur, or Wart, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even
Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Cinderella.
Yeah, I mean,
even those are. I mean, because
in some cases they don't have any parents.
That's true, but I mean, like Cinderella does have a dad in the original fairy tale,
right?
But in the film, she doesn't. It's just
the evil stepmother.
The evil stepmother.
Yeah. But yeah. So The Incredibles is one of the few Disney films in general, really, that has a full family unit.
Full family unit. You're right.
And but that's not why it's my favorite. The point I'm getting to.
What an odd way to have a favorite. There's a whole family in this movie.
I like families, so that's my favorite.
Good.
No. I like the way the characters interact with each other. That's why. I love the banter. I love the story it takes. It tells. I love the growth that all of the characters really go under, and specifically the four, you know, the family. But I love the way their interactions change and mature over the course of the film in a way that I felt I could relate to.
Critic Frank says they have complete story arcs.
Basically, yeah. I was
Syndrome's got 15 an awesome
when
lair.
That came out. So there you go.
Wait, really? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Syndrome's got a great villain lair.
I thought you said hair.
He does have great hair too. It is cool. I mean, it's funny because I like the whole story. I generally like the film. I don't really have anything against it, but for some reason, it doesn't register to me as a funny film very much. Like, I find it maybe a little bit more serious in tone straight through. Yep. And I just don't find it as quotable, like I said before.
Yeah, it may not be quite as quotable as some of the others. I think it's a well-made, well-told, well-crafted, well-written story.
Brad Bird's a great director.
Absolutely. It's great for lots of reasons. Even Jack-Jack has character growth.
Yeah, I agree.
Even the infant has character growth. I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot for that reason. I like that there is subtext when you, in a way that you don't really see in many Disney movies, when Bob goes to the island for the first time and you meet Mirage.
Yeah.
There is an undertone.
Very James Bondy,
but there is sort of this will he, won't he be unfaithful to his wife type of.
Very adult all of a sudden.
And if you're a kid, I'm sure it goes straight over your head. But, you know, seeing it as a teenager and still as an adult, and just like you would, you know, they could have played it up a little bit more. It is a family movie, and you know, they likely wouldn't, and I knew they likely wouldn't, but there is the possibility for a second the thought runs through your mind that something they could kiss or gaze into each other's
probably
eyes or something.
Ran through Mr. Incredible's head.
I'm sure it did. Yeah. That kind of thing is more adult tone for just a moment.
Well, maybe the Incredibles, if you will allow me to have you stop talking for a second.
My monologuing.
A little bit. Ooh, nice reference. That was good. That is a great, you getting me to monologue.
No capes.
Yeah. Oh, and
don't you dare tell me it's not quotable.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I just need to see it again. Oh, she's funny. I like her. Edna Mode. I do know somebody that looks a lot like her. I think everybody knows somebody that looks like her, but, you know, it's just like one of those things. Maybe The Incredibles is the movie that kind of kick-started a more adult tone to it, like something like that, because, I mean, you can watch WALL-E all you want, but if I was a little kid watching WALL-E, which I love that film, and I had a hard time not choosing that as my favorite, but nobody talks for a long time in that film.
True.
It's
harder to watch.
It's harder to watch as a little kid. Your attention span is not the same. And then, like, the first 10 minutes of Up, like, if you're not crying, like...
So like those
you
right...
You are a tin man. Yeah. Or not, because he cried a lot. So that's you are an Iron Man. You are a...
The Iron Giant?
Soulless. I'm done. Okay.
Okay. WALL-E and Up are my two honorable mentions. As I think...
Because I mentioned A Bug's Life.
Because you mentioned A Bug's Life. Yeah, it was going to be Up and A Bug's Life.
Interesting.
But WALL-E also bears mentioning. Just they are both really... Those are actually pretty adult stories. Not adult in the sense of explicit, but adult in the sense of, you know, a little more mature.
Yeah, I agree. Up is not an honorable mention for me, if we're going into honorable mention time. Mm-hmm. WALL-E definitely is, because I just the beginning, even starting with, like, put on your Sunday clothes, there's lots of world out
Michael
there.
Michael Crawford.
Yeah, the Sunday in the Park with George...
I'm not sure what it's from, actually. I don't think it is from
Carousel.
That.
Carousel.
It's a movie, so it's not...
No, it's not Carousel. It's... I'm going to hurt my brain now. Look it up.
Carry on.
Yeah, I'm going to keep talking. But the soundtrack in that film is incredible, with, like, Livian Rose by Louis Armstrong, like, hold me close. But I mean, like...
Hold me close, it'll be fair.
That was good, Louis Armstrong.
Thank you. It's Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. Thank you. That was going to bother me. So between that, and then I just, like, The metaphor might be a little bit strong because it's a kids movie. They do kind of like let you know right away what it is. But I mean, like Eve planting the garden.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. You know, I love it. I love all that stuff. My other honorable mention, which I know we're going to talk about because it's great, is Finding Nemo, which, yes. Yeah, I just like quite pot. If not for Dory, mm-hmm. I don't know if the film is as strong as other ones. I think she really does make the film.
Yeah.
Because she is, I mean, there are definitely other instantly quotable things like, you guys made me ink.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and, oh, speaking of, hello, Bruce. You know, my name is Bruce. You know. Oh, and, well, I've never eaten a fish. So, you know, whew, feels good to get that off my chest. You know, like, there's just a lot in there. And you can say, P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney, to almost anybody. And people are going to be like, you know. I think I said it the other day. And people were like,
So. Somebody used it at work the other day. Someone was making a PowerPoint slide and there needed to be an address on it and someone used
Peter. That's awesome. See, it's like things like that that make it it's like cult classic status, except everyone's in the cult.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's why it hits for me. But you're giving me the look of I have something to say.
If anything, I'm giving you the look of I completely agree with everything you're saying right now.
Oh, I read your
look wrong. I think Finding Nemo, it's definitely a favorite, and I know that not because there's like any nieces or nephews or kids in my life, but because I see the merchandise that's out there.
Yeah,
and it's everywhere.
Well, I saw I was in Barnes & Noble earlier, and there was a pop doll of Dory.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Yeah, pop figure, not a doll.
Yeah. Another one that needs to be mentioned before we close.
Ratatouille.
Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc.
Never seen Ratatouille, actually.
Really?
Ratatouille and Cars.
Don't watch it hungry.
No, I said I'm...
You can watch Cars hungry, but don't watch Ratatouille. Yeah. I've never seen Cars, actually. As a kid, I loved Cars. I still can't bring myself. I'm not a NASCAR fan.
Yeah, me either.
So...
But I just have... I haven't gotten around to watching those two, and it's not out of any lack of desire to watch them. I just haven't gotten around to them yet.
Well, I still haven't watched Monsters University yet, and I still would love to see that. I just don't think about it when I'm like, I need to watch a movie. What should I watch?
Yeah, it doesn't come to mind.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, we could go on. There was a time when there were so few Pixar films that if you wanted to make a list of your quote-unquote favorites, you would end up naming all of them.
Right.
But we're now at a point where there are enough of them that, you know, some of them don't make the cut or don't get around. There's 14 feature films.
Yeah.
So you don't maybe name all of them because you don't have time in a half hour or whatever to talk about all of them. But any final thoughts?
Just that... I really enjoy doing this podcast with you because it's you and me and you, both of us together. Yeah.
Hey. We're just rehearsing a scene from the upcoming company play.
Put the thing back where it came from. So help me. Anyway, I have two things. I don't know if you've seen them. There could be more out there. There are fan edits of The Incredibles and Monsters, Inc. I don't know if you've seen them. The Incredibles, as directed by Christopher Nolan, which is awesome. They did a great job, but I like this one more. Monsters, Inc., as directed by Ridley Scott.
Stop.
Yeah. It's amazing. The movie looks so creepy, and the only thing that they edit, like in the feature-wise, is that they turn Boo's eyes red, like to be more monster-like. Besides that, it's just the lines and the scenes from the show, but edited together.
Wow.
It's so creepy. It's like that Mary Poppins edit where, have you ever seen that?
No.
It's like if, like, Mary Poppins the horror movie, and it's like, what's the song that she sings at, it's like, feed the birds, but it's like the beginning part of the song. Okay. And do you know what I'm talking about?
I know the song. Yeah. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag.
Yeah. But it's the beginning part of the,
the beginning of the
song. And now I can't remember.
Like the intro where she describes the lady sitting on the steps. And
yeah.
Like,
but it's like, they got this bell ringing.
Yes.
And it's like it's so creepy because you just see like dolls moving and like her like sliding up the stairs and the kid's eyes are wide and it's like The Nanny. It's almost like Rosemary's Baby or The Omen-ish feel to the thing. It's definitely worth a watch. There's a couple of edits out there, like movies as horror movies. I think Dumb and Dumber has one, and all this other stuff.
That's
but
so funny.
But definitely watch the Pixar ones because they are a hoot.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm having a real blanking tonight. I feel bad.
That's all right.
It's okay. Right.
It happens. You're human. Well, listen.
I am.
Okay. Cool.
I was throwing you off, leading into something.
Okay. Before we go, I just want to thank everyone for listening. You guys are all great.
You really love us.
We love you.
You moderately like us.
You tolerate us. Yeah.
We really both really appreciate that. We have a ton of fun making the show, and we're glad. We hope you enjoy listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
We would really appreciate iTunes reviews.
Yes.
A couple of you have done that already. Thank you so much. If you enjoy the show enough to leave us a 4 or 5 star review, we'd really appreciate that.
Yes, we would.
You can also leave us a review on Stitcher. That doesn't hurt either. We also have a Twitter account at BeerWithGeeks and an email account, beerwithgeeks@gmail.com. So if you want to send us any feedback, we're there, and we'll be happy to read any emails you send us if you give us permission to do so. Tweet us thoughts, reactions, suggested topics, all that stuff. Happy to read that stuff as well. So, anything to add, Timothy?
No, you said a lot of words, and I liked
words
them.
Words are hard.
Words are
difficult. Okay. He's having a hard time there. So, while
I was just using a bigger word.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, thank you very much, guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers.
Bye, Kozowski.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.